mind virus. To quote Heisenberg, "The Cartesian partition has penetrated deeply into the human mind during the 3 centuries following Descartes, and it will take a long time for it to be replaced by a really different attitude toward the problem of reality." The Cartesian worldview, in which the world was split into mind and body, into subject and object, is a self-propagating idea, a way of viewing the world that has penetrated the human mind. Not simply an impotent and passive idea, seeing the world as if it exists separate from us actively draws the landscape of the world to manifest itself to our mind as if it is truly other than ourselves, which then proves to us the rightness of our own unexamined viewpoint in an endlessly self-reinforcing and self-generated feedback loop whose ultimate source is our own mind. The accumulated, agreed-upon, and accepted ideas about the nature of our world are unthinkingly passed down through the generations, analogous to the genetic transmission of traits from generation to generation. It should be pointed out, however, that some of these ideas, for example, the idea of objective reality, are simply mistaken. To learn, we must be free to err, for correcting our mistakes is how we evolve. But if our mistakes go undetected and uncorrected, we deviate from our nature with potentially destructive consequences that threaten not only our own survival, but our very planet as well. Interestingly, Feynman was of the opinion that the process of unconsciously transmitting and passing on ideas through the generations had a disease in it. Quantum physics can teach us how certain unexamined assumptions, such as an objectively existing universe, actually infects our thinking and language in subtly hidden ways that hinder the realization of our full creative potential. The idea of an objective world can be likened to a mimetic thought virus which has managed to commandeer the facilities of a very powerful host, the overwhelming majority of people, the scientific community, academia, book publishers, distribution services, mainstream media, endlessly and invisibly replicating itself through the ideosphere. When such a fertile idea gains enough traction and momentum, it becomes self-evident, supplying all the needed evidence to relentlessly prove and ratify the rightness of its perspective. Its way of viewing the world can become firmly entrenched in our minds as the invisible and unquestioned lens through which we instinctively give meaning to our own experience. The idea can develop a seeming autonomy and life of its own, driving its own propagation, in other words, becoming self-replicating. The idea of an objective reality links with the idea of a subjective center of psychological operations, the reference point of ego, in such a way that these two ideas reinforce each other, reciprocally assisting each other's survival in the meme pool. My book, Dispelling Wetiko, explores this virus of the mind. Wetiko is a Native American term, but every wisdom tradition has its own creative name for symbolizing this self-replicating mimetic thought virus that is transmitted across the generations. By whatever name we call it, this mind virus, whose origin is to be found within the human psyche, is a semantic disorder that functions by deviating the very process by which we attribute meaning to our experience. It is an ideological virus whose means of replication and propagation are through altering the syntax of our ideas in ways that become self-perpetuating. This bug in the system alters and subverts the core axioms and interpretive schemas through which the psyche maps its self-created meaning onto its inner and outer experience. Wetiko works through the projective tendencies of the mind in such a way that to the extent we are unconscious of it, we unknowingly become instruments through which it acts itself out in the world while simultaneously hiding itself from being seen. The Wetiko virus induces a form of psychic blindness in which those afflicted believe they can see. The thought forms, beliefs, and perceptions that this mind-created virus presents to us as objectively existing act as an intrinsic built-in control system defining the limits of what we, both individually and collectively as a species, imagine to be within the realm of possibility. Wetiko, a collective psychosis, can be likened to an anti-information virus. Not only does it block the reception of information, but it substitutes false information for the real thing. It has the power to induce, both individually and en masse, what Philip K. Dick calls a negative hallucination, in which instead of us seeing what is not there, we cannot see what is there. Quantum physics exposes a flaw in our very process of thinking. it is as if our species is suffering from a thought disorder. Dick writes, "There is some kind of ubiquitous thinking dysfunction which goes unnoticed, especially by the persons themselves, and this is the horrifying part of it. Somehow the self-monitoring circuit in the person is fooled by the very dysfunction it is supposed to monitor. When we have fallen under the spell of the Wetiko virus, we aren't aware of our affliction. From our point of view, we don't have a problem, and if there is a problem, the cause is always seen as residing in someone else." Dick continues, "The criminal virus controls by occluding, putting us in a sort of half-sleep, so that we do not see the living quality of the world. The occlusion is self-perpetuating. It makes us unaware of it. Wetiko occludes us in such a way that we can't even tell that we are occluded, a situation that Dick refers to as the most ominous kind of occlusion. Being self-perpetuating, this occlusion in our consciousness will not go away of its own accord. It acts as a feedback loop that perpetually self-generates itself until the spell is broken. The majority of our species does seem to be in a state of half-sleep. No wonder the recent popularity of zombies in pop culture." David Baum contemplates what is preventing mankind from working together for the common good and indeed for survival, and concludes that one of the key factors is a kind of thought that treats things as inherently divided, disconnected, and broken up into yet smaller constituent parts. Each part is considered to be essentially independent and self-existent. It sounds like Baum is talking about the type of thinking that has unconsciously informed, given form to, the field of physics for centuries. In this mode of thinking that creates seeming fragmentation between things that are not actually separate nor ultimately separable, Baum, one of the most original, radical, and important thinkers of the second half of the 20th century, is pointing at Wetiko. He writes, "It's similar to a virus. Somehow this is a disease of thought, of knowledge, of information, spreading all over the world. The more computers, radio, and television we have, the faster it spreads. So the kind of thought that's going on all around us begins to take over in every one of us, without our even noticing it. It's spreading like a virus, and each one of us is nourishing that virus. This thought virus, or in Feynman's words, disease, is highly contagious, spreading through the channel of our shared unconsciousness. Its vectors of infection and propagation do not travel like a physical pathogen, however. This fluidly moving, nomadically wandering bug continually regenerates itself through the transmission of meaning-filled and mind-imprisoning informational codes, infotoxins. This virus of the mind feeds off of and into each of our unconscious blind spots, which is how it non-locally propagates itself throughout the field. In this disease of the mind, which is a genuine psychosis, there is a code or logic that affects/infects awareness in a way analogous to how the DNA in a virus passes into and infects a cell. This psychic disease can be likened to an invisible, immaterial life form that has infiltrated our world through the medium of information. Unless recognized, this information virus continually reticulates and arborizes itself, spreading rhizome-like through all the various channels of information media throughout our world, which have become its instruments for propagating itself. This information virus continually informs our mind, endlessly massaging our brain into the desired shape so as to further replicate itself. Feynman comments, "Then a way of avoiding the disease was discovered. This is to doubt that what is being passed from the past is in fact true, and to try to find out, ab initio, from the beginning, again from experience, what the situation is, rather than trusting the experience of the past and the form in which it was passed down." In other words, instead of unthinkingly accepting other people's versions about the nature of our situation, not taking anybody's word for anything, we can think for ourselves. The cure for the disease entails each of us becoming an empiricist and simply inquiring directly into the nature of our present moment experience. What a radical idea!